You are listening to Warm Beer and the Cheap Seats. I'm Casey. I'm with Big Mike, and we're live on a Friday night. Big Mike, take it away.
What is happening, everyone? I missed everybody last week. I was away. Went to Talladega for the Geico 500, and I got some stories from the campground.
The fans are pleased.
They're pleased.
Live from a studio audience.
Yeah.
I think that's going to stop. Yeah, no.
Wow, that's pretty
good. They come on for a while. People just passed out. They ran out of breath.
Just breathe, fans, breathe. It's just me, Big Mike. But yeah, it's good to be back. I missed being on the show last week. Yeah. It was very, we were just discussing before coming on air, speaking to sweet Melissa, about it was weird to listen to the show, not because it's weird, but not being on the show and kind of being the outsider. And it's good to be the insider again.
Yes. It's good to have you back.
Thank you. It's good to be back. So what do we got today? What do we get to discuss?
Well, you know, we're going to go into your story here in a minute, but I want to leave a little suspense. Not that I want to bury the lead, if you will. But
that's very newsy.
What we have in the background in the studio, the NFL is officially back. So it marks the moment that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers title defense starts now. And they had re-signed Antonio Brown. So they brought back the whole team. So this is the first time I can remember where the Buccaneers are in a situation where they're like, well, we have six gaping holes we're trying to fill. And they don't. They're reloading. Last night, I love their pick. They went and got a good edge rusher so they can bolster the defense and build on that. I think a certain someone that we mutually know and probably had a large part in the scouting for that. So congratulations, Buccaneers. However, I do want to talk about the draft in general and the Cowboys. There's some guy. Oh, he's a former Cowboy. This guy,
that's up there. Okay.
Yeah. He loves the Cowboys. He comes out every year and he makes fun of the Eagles or the Giants.
Yeah. Of course, you know, rivals, you got it, you know, poke the bear.
Yeah, he certainly does. So, and they got a defensive back. Their defense sucks. So, but a couple things I did want to talk about. So, there are reasons why some franchises aren't good. Like, what always drives me crazy is when a team has a lot of needs. You know, like, well, what we need is to get a wide receiver, and then we get touchdowns. Well, okay, and that's what Cincinnati. They're pretty high up there in the draft, and they went and got a wide receiver for their stud quarterback, Joe Burrow, who's coming back this year. The problem is Joe Burrow missed most of last season because he got destroyed because they have no one that blocks him.
And, that could be a big, big problem.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, that wide receiver doesn't matter.
The wide receiver is going to be running routes to nowhere.
To nothing. He's going to run routes in the air.
Yeah. So, I mean, he'd be better off being a track athlete. I mean, the Tokyo Games are coming up this summer, hopefully. And the Falcons, when you have the number four pick, I guess you build your franchise around the tight end. Congratulations, Atlanta. You still suck.
Wow.
Yeah. Nope. Tight end. Yep. That's it. I mean, you have 35 needs, and you get a tight end because that's – everyone's talked about dynasties – and they were built around the tight end position.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard that.
A guy that's going to catch the ball 20 times. Hey, maybe he's a Gronkowski, but you know why Gronkowski existed? Because the Patriots drafted 35 offensive linemen before him.
Mm.
So, and
so that the quarterback's protected so he can go ahead and make the plays.
I mean, Atlanta would have been better served with even drafting a quarterback. I mean, not to say there's anything wrong with Matt Ryan, but you'd be like, well, you know, he's about to run out of the extended warranty. We need to start training someone for 2-3 years down the road. Or you want to be perpetually rebuilding. Now, Jacksonville has like a million picks this draft because they made some trades and whatever. They're kind of a rebuild. They got Urban Meyer, who's coming out of retirement again. And last night he drafted. They had the number one pick overall. There's no question about it. He's going to get Trevor Lawrence from Clemson. They also had the 26th pick. And who's he pick out of there? The Clemson running back. He drafted the backfield of Clemson. He's like, hey, they win national championships.
Why don't you come on and play with us?
Yeah. Hopefully they win Super Bowls in the pros. I love it. And it's been two sources, Adam Schefter, one of them, working out with the tight ends coach of Jacksonville, Mr. College Football himself, Tim effing Tebow.
I saw that this morning when I was eating breakfast at the diner.
I'm taking a knee, and I'm getting excited. Tebow mania. It's coming back to Florida. He's a Jacksonville boy.
You
got something to get excited about Jacksonville other than them going, hey, welcome to Teal Town. Guys, I don't think you get the idea of like football and toughness. Yelling Teal Town.
That equals zero toughness.
And then they went and got a defensive back from Georgia and an offensive tackle, it looks like, from Stanford. They're definitely building the team. So I think they're going to be excited. I don't think that rebuild is going to take long in Jacksonville because they still have some good players there. So that's my take on
that. That's your take on the draft?
Yeah. So I don't know. It's fun to watch. It goes a little long. To the NFL's credit, they do make it a big TV event. It goes on for 4 days. They're only going to do round two tonight. And then that's it.
Well, they've made it into a big TV event. There was a time when this was not a big TV event.
Not at all. I mean, look, you got someone's grandma sitting on the couch and Roger Goodell's going out there. The best part is Goodell gets booed every time he walks on stage. And he catches more heat than Vince McMahon in the WWE Attitude Era. It's insane. It's what I think will bring our country back together is our collective hatred
for Goodell.
Okay. And by the way, his dad was like a U.S. senator, and his wife's dad was like a chief of staff for like H.W. Bush.
Really?
Yeah. So, to quote the dude, not a lightweight, or the dude's friend.
Anyways.
I digress. So
there you have it. Now it's an event.
Yeah, so
You know what it is? Okay, let's get real. They're selling advertising to this. That's a whole – now it's a TV event. It was never a TV event.
Well, you got the clothing, because they're going to show you the different gears, the jerseys.
And then the network's selling TV time because now the network's like, hey, we got the – other than that, what would be on TV on Friday night? Sports wise,
yeah, it's
not a whole lot. We got truck racing tonight, I believe, from Kansas.
And yeah, I mean, you got some NBA, but most of the NBA games don't start till late, and the better teams are on the West Coast, so their games don't even start to 9-10 o'clock, anyways.
So here's
now baseball's around, but baseball don't really heat up till long after All Star break unless you're a degenerate like me, then you watch baseball.
Then you watch from
every
opening day.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
There you go. So here's an opportunity for the networks. They're selling TV time. The NFL is going to sell you some jerseys and shit.
Yep. Yeah, Fanatics. Go to Fanatics. 35% off right now. Como Pro.
Okay, let's
ear seats. No, I'm just kidding on that one. Don't type that in. I don't think anything.
That might cause your computer to crash.
They'll charge you 30%
more. 30%
more.
Oh, you know those guys? You mentioned Fanatics. This Fanatics, they dominate sports clothing.
That's where I got our pieces.
Absolutely. NASCAR is in bed with Fanatics. So all your NASCAR gear.
That dirty slut.
So, yeah, and it's you go in the store or online. It doesn't matter what sport it is. It could be a customer of mine today mentioned pickleball. So if you needed a pickleball outfit or T-shirt because you're for your favorite pickleball team, I guess they're a team, right?
Right.
You would get it at Fanatics. Pickleball. That was truly mentioned today. I had knee surgery and he's upset because he won't be able to play.
Wow.
Big Ed. Hey, Big Ed, is that you out there in
for about 5 minutes
land?
I was the chucklehead, not on the air.
You're not on the air.
I am now.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yep. You're here in the ether with us.
Yeah. I'm in the waves. Can't see them. I'm in the internet right now.
You are in the internet.
The interwebs.
You are surfing the interwebs.
I'm with Al Gore. We got our hard hats on. We're looking at this cable here. It's huge. This internet is huge.
Thanks for that information. I did not realize that.
Yeah. Still nowadays, people, they do stuff.
They do stuff with things on the internet.
Yeah, they talk or they...
Actually, technically, they do a little less on the internet now. Yahoo's shutting down Yahoo Answers.
Yeah, Yahoo Answers.
Which a lot of people don't go to anymore, but it's like terabytes of information, and people are trying to archive it right now. And Yahoo's rid of it. Which there's a lot of love and mostly hate relationship with people like internet nerds and Yahoo, because Yahoo had so much money, they would buy stuff and then close it down.
And say, you know what, you like this? How do you like me now? It's gone.
Well, because they wouldn't know how to use it, and then they couldn't figure out, how, you know, like ad revenue or whatever.
Well, give me an example. Do you know an example of something Yahoo purchased and then?
Well, I'm sure there were like music apps, because there's a time Yahoo Music was phenomenal to stream music long before Pandora and Spotify. They had the best algorithm. Then they bought something, they changed something, and then every song was a Bob Dylan song. I'm like, no, I hate Bob Dylan.
Do you hate Bob Dylan?
And that's every song. That's his fucking catalog.
Well, you know,
that was a guy. There's no justice. Why didn't that guy fucking overdose? No, Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison. You know,
Dylan
you know,
wrote some good songs though. He's a good songwriter.
Fucking shitty, fucking.
He's
the worst traveling Wilbury.
Now, yes. I did play you. I did play you one night.
Yeah, go ahead.
His Nashville Skyline album.
Yes.
I took it you weren't overly impressed with Nashville Skyline.
No, it was all right. It was all right. There's like, I could pick out one or two songs, but like the way the Rolling Stone magazine would write about Dylan.
They kissed
like,
his ass.
Kissed his ass. That was the nicest thing they did. They were blowing him.
Maybe he was a little lonely, and Rolling Stone magazine made him
Rolling Stone magazine had low self-esteem.
Because Dylan's not exactly the most handsome guy.
Oh, my gosh. No.
I never didn't get into it.
So, yeah, Bob Dylan. But he's written some good stuff. There's some of the bands I listen to, and they sing some Dylan songs. I think they sing the Dylan songs better than old Bob himself, old Bobbo.
Yeah, Guns N' Roses had a big hit of Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Mm-hmm. Bobbo's song.
Along the Watchtower, Jimi Hendrix.
Mm-hmm.
Ministry, Lay Lady Lay, way better and way heavier than Bobbo.
Yeah.
Not having the store.
What about Guns N' Roses there, Big Ed?
You said Dylan. Guns N' Roses did not have the store.
Yeah, for Use Your Illusion 1, I believe, was on that one.
Which I was kicking around, and I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but I was kicking around on the old Wikipedia today, reviewing the album or Slash album for later this on the show.
Cut. Sure, sure.
And you know, you ever go down that, and I think we've mentioned this on the show, I'm sure we have, that good old Wikipedia rabbit hole, you know, you start reading one article and you're like, oh, hey, look at these blue words. It will link me to another article. and you're linked and you're linked and you're linked.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I went down the old slash to the Guns N' Roses Wikipedia page to the Axl Rose Wikipedia
page.
Oh, boy. So, you know.
You're in the jungle, baby. You're going to die.
It has its own Wikipedia page, though. And then his 5 o'clock somewhere has its own page. So you want, I think you went in another direction, Big Mike.
What's that? We're losing you there, Big Ed. I think the internet, you and Al Gore need to kind of tune it up a bit. Tell Al to get off his ass since he invented this shit and everything to fix it. Well, allegedly. Sweet Melissa, if my fans, our fans, didn't hear her, she goes, did Al Gore invent the internet? That's the what do they call that, Casey?
Well, he was someone that would be known to embellish.
Embellish. But it's like a wives' tale. There you go, wives' tale.
Yeah.
Do people even use that term anymore? An old wives' tale. Would a millennial know what the hell that is?
It's probably deemed offensive now.
Everything's offensive now. Everything.
Because
why? Right.
I would call it a Handmaid's Tale, you know, because of the Amazon show. Hey, talking about silly sports things, I think I could figure out how to draw a little mania for the Tampa Bay Rays to get fans in there, because they do have a good, fun team. They play defense, and there are a lot of guys that are very excited. Well, yeah. In the short run, you know, I mean, it would be ideal to have a different ownership group that really cared about the Bay Area. You know, he wanted to buy the Mets. He bought the Rays, and now he's been trying to move closer to New York since then. But their best pitcher, and I'm telling you, the guy is going to win the American League Cy Young this year, is Tyler Glasnow, and he's phenomenal. And he's got the most gorgeous head of hair I've ever seen on a human. And I don't know.
I think my hair is kind of gorgeous.
You do have a good head of hair, but you don't have a nasty fastball like this guy.
I don't.
And
I don't have his bank account either.
No. Well, my idea is on the nights that he pitched that we all show up with mullets.
I kind of almost have one now.
Yeah. Well, right,
mine's not short. Okay, for our fans at home who don't know me, I want to make a shout out. So there's a fan out there, a new subscriber listening to our show.
Word out.
Based on my recommendation, which, hey, thank you. It's the legend, Little Chris. This is a shout out. This is Big Mike shouting out to you out across podcast land. Thanks for listening, and I hope you're enjoying the show. But anyhow, for all our listeners out there who don't know me, Little Chris, the legend, knows me. You guys know me. I have long hair, so I kind of take pride in my long hair, and it's not a mullet because it's long from the front to the back. I don't have the old, like, the party.
It's not the old party in the front, business in the rear.
Well, vice versa, business in the front, party in the back. Close enough, Big Ed. Right.
No.
Party in the back. Yeah. Business in the front, party in the back. I don't have that. It's just, it's party all the way. It's party from the front to the back.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to go to my judges on this one.
Judges, we'd like a ruling on the field here.
Yep. It's party in the back.
Now, I did own a t-shirt. Do you remember the Big Johnson t-shirts?
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah. All right. There's a whole slew of those. Like, you know, you can't get off the porch and run with the big dogs. You got a little dick. Yeah, I remember those.
No. Big dogs.
Well, they were big dogs, and they alluded to, like, you got a little dick. I have this t-shirt. And I go bass fishing.
I had Big Johnson shirts. It was like, it was a nerd. So sweet Melissa. So, and fans at home, here's your assignment. If you have not, you don't know what a Big Johnson t-shirt is, get on the interwebs. You'll
and
find
type
it.
Type in Google Big Black Johnson. It's going to come up. Trust me.
But he was like a skinny, nerdy white kid.
Yeah.
So anyway, I had the Big Johnson t-shirts, they had themes. I had a NASCAR one. I had like a muscle car one. And then I had a casino.
Right.
And it said liquor in the front. Poker in the rear. And it was it. Do you remember that? Do you remember that t-shirt, Sweet Melissa? So you heard this. So Sweet Melissa is innocent and would know nothing about Big Johnson t-shirts. However, my high school did not outlaw these shirts, but soon after I graduated, the Big Johnson t-shirts were deemed inappropriate for an educational setting. Just because they're referencing large penises.
Yeah, they were banned by the Itty Bitty Titty Committee.
So, you know what? Wow, we just hit on, why don't we do a t-shirt like that? Like an Itty Bitty Titty t-shirt. Which will
But
lead,
it's like it's a titmouse, though. It's
just titmouse?
It's just a titmouse.
Which, you know what? This is going to lead into.
It's a real thing. It's a little mouse.
Sweet Melissa.
It's real.
Okay, again, fans at home.
All right.
Interwebs.
Now, do not Google itty bitty titty, but you want to Google titmouse.
Now,
it's a thing.
Now, wait, Casey. All right. Casey.
All right, I will.
If they want to Google
or itty, you go to DuckDuckGo because everyone's watching you.
Who's that?
I don't know. People, things.
Everybody's watching.
According to that Michael Jackson Rockwell song.
The bird.
No, it's not a bird. A mouse is a mouse. Well, that's something else.
It's a Floridian titmouse. It's a bird.
Well, maybe.
And it's bipolar.
It's bipolar.
Well,
I didn't know birds could be bipolar. Learn to, see that, everyone? This is an educational show, so you can't wear your Big Johnson t-shirt while listening to it because that's not proper for an educational setting like our show.
Correct.
It's only in Florida.
www.titmouse.com. So, which, you know, talking about tits kind of leads into.
No, that's a segue.
Talking
now,
about.
See, you never get that on The View or The Talk.
But warm beer in the cheap seats, you're going to get tits.
The tit mouse is not a mouse. It's not a mouse.
It's just tits.
That leads me into... Mouse.
Listen, they got eyes and feet just like a mouse. I mean, come on. It's all like minutia at that point.
Yeah, is that a color minutia?
No, it's a thing.
Is it a... Minutia?
The tits.
So, again, leading into this, kind of... Since we're talking about tits... Would you like to hear about my adventure?
Oh, yeah. Wait. You need music.
I would love music. That's the music for Big Ed.
Come on, man.
Don't recycle.
Oh, wait.
All right, fans at home. We're going to get a real... I got a drum roll.
Yeah, Big Mike's trip.
Big Mike's trip. So, listening to the show and logging on to the show, Casey said... Big Mike is on a trip somewhere. I went to Alabama, everyone. Talladega in particular. Talladega County, where there is a badass racetrack. Went to Talladega Super Speedway for the Geico 500. Three of my buddies joined me. We camped out, not in the infield, but we camped out on one of the beautiful, beautiful campgrounds outside of the track, on track property. I've never been to a campground as beautiful, other than Boy Scouts, which Casey and I were Boy Scouts. We camped in some really awesome venues, I guess parks and campgrounds. Yeah. The campgrounds at Talladega reminded me of Boy Scouts, by the way. They were that beautiful.
Nice.
Big, beautiful trees like pines.
and some other kind of trees that I'm not an arborist, so.
Well, the weather is probably a little bit more reasonable, probably not yet mosquito weather
no.
yet.
So we would, so the morning was Monday when we pulled back home.
Wait, wait, wait. Did you actually stay in a tent or were you in a camper?
Camper. Nice. We have a trailer.
That's the way to do it.
And the trailer adds to some of the adventure that I had.
Mm.
It's a, it was a used trailer that our buddy Daryl acquired. And we had a used generator that he acquired, which comes into play with this trip. But anyhow, I'm setting this up for you, painting the picture.
Can you take a shit in this trailer?
Yes.
Like,
oh, no. You can take a shit
like,
in the shower.
Do not, because it doesn't flush. We can't get rid
no,
of it.
No, it worked.
Oh, okay. Because a lot of times that's a problem.
It's weird, though, because here's the thing. These bathrooms are really small.
Oh, yeah. They're tiny.
And the toilets, they're not like regular toilets. I was afraid. This is a little TMI. I thought I was going to fill the thing up.
Oh, yeah. No,
I was a little scared.
That's a serious concern.
I thought maybe I'd fall off of it.
You know, if you got the bud mud, that might be a problem.
So, but luckily, no one on the trip ran into this issue.
Right.
So painting the picture for you, beautiful, beautiful campgrounds. I have pictures. I'll show you pictures. Unfortunately, on a podcast, gang, I can't show you a picture over the air. Maybe we'll post pictures later. We could do that.
We could
do that. So we drove up to Talladega, set up camp. And those of you who may have never gone to a NASCAR race and camped out, you make friends with your neighbors.
When you're doing a longer camp.
Long camp out. Sure. So this we camped out Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. So you get to know your neighbors. We had cool neighbors. Bruce and Sandy from North Carolina, originally from New Hampshire.
See, that now that's something you don't run into too often. Folks from New Hampshire.
And these were cool.
There's literally a dozen people out there that are from New Hampshire all the time.
Maybe two dozen.
And most of them fought in the Revolutionary War, so there's not many.
Bruce could have. He was old enough. But
there's a track in New Hampshire, so there's definitely a Northeast following with Pocono and New Hampshire.
Oh, sure.
Glenn.
Oh,
so
okay.
I wouldn't be surprised to see people from Maine in that area.
Well, Big Ed, my game was walking the campgrounds looking for the plate from the furthest distance. Massachusetts.
Right.
Oh, okay. Is that a game you guys do?
That's a game I do to entertain myself. So I guess my friends were more interested in drinking beer.
And then I immediately write down the VIN of their vehicle. No,
that would be weird. Hey, what are you doing? I'm writing down your VIN.
That's okay.
I got a gun. I'm going to shoot you. No, thank you. I'm leaving now.
All right. Things not to do at a NASCAR campsite.
Massachusetts was in our campground was the furthest away.
That's good distance.
There's Massachusetts, Tennessee, Pennsylvania, North Carolina. So they're originally from New Hampshire, living in North Carolina now. Mm. Their son works for one of the Xfinity teams, which is kind of cool. They have kind of inside.
They
inside
go behind the curtain.
Behind the curtain. So the big thing, what I want to call this is called foreshadowing.
Oh. All right.
Topless tails from the campground.
Oh.
So Saturday or Friday night, our first night there, we set up. You're shaking your head, Kate.
Well, because Mike's going to whip out his tits. That's what's going to go on.
No.
But go ahead.
That's just.
Guess.
No, I didn't do that.
I'll play Mike's tits against the field.
So we set up camp, cooked our steaks, drank our beer. And then our neighbors invited us over to their campfire. They had a pretty awesome fire pit.
Okay.
And we're drinking, and they bring out moonshine.
Oh, boy.
That Sandy, our friend, and Sandy, I'm going to paint the picture. Bruce, our friend Bruce from North Carolina, 81 years old. Our new friend Sandy from North Carolina, his wife, 72.
Okay.
And they're partying. Four mason jars of moonshine come out. And there was all, it was custom mixed by Sandy. She was giving us the recipe. She puts a little sugar. She puts the fruit. We had our selection that night. We had butterscotch. We had mixed fruit. We had blueberry. I forget what the other one was. I kind of stuck with the blueberry. as the night carried on, a lady came and sat around the fire with us. When this happened, we thought, I thought,
a real lady of the night.
She could have been a lady of the night.
So
she sat next to my friend Daryl. What's that? Not a lot lizard. Not a lot lizard. She was just a fellow camper there for a good time in the weekend, watch stock cars and to have a good time at the campground. We, my crew, thought she knew Bruce and Sandy. Bruce and Sandy thought she knew us.
Classic.
So my buddy Daryl.
See, that's someone that knows how to crash a party.
Absolutely. She crashed it like a pro. She sat down, smiled. I'm like, hey, this chick's not bad looking. So we're like, who are you?
Oh, she's
it was
like,
Nancy from Roswell, Georgia.
Yeah.
No, it was Nancy, not drink core. Nancy from Roswell. Nancy from Roswell, if you're listening, I had a good time with you this weekend. This past weekend. No, it wasn't like that, Melissa. That wasn't like that. But as the night went long, she came over. She was lubed up when she got there already. She had plenty of drinks in her.
She's feeling no pain.
Well, zero pain.
I thought you meant like she was all, you said lubed up. I thought maybe she was lathered up or something.
No, she wasn't lathered up. She wasn't lathered up. But
not like she was a Baywatch girl.
No. So they're like, hey, Bruce
more
and Sandy.
Like, like a JD girl, Casey.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I was alluding to. Wah, wah, hey, the broad's listening.
Hey, would you like some moonshine? Well, she started drinking moonshine, and it wasn't sips, it was gulps.
Oh, gosh.
So what does this lead to? Titties coming out of the shirt.
Yep.
So she started telling us how great her tits were. So our friend, our new friend, 81-year-old Bruce, goes, if they're so nice, why don't you show them to us?
Yeah, make them do math.
And she fought us on it.
Big Mike,
I think,
did you get a titsy?
You know, huh?
Did you get a titsy?
We got, what's a titsy?
A titsy is like a selfie, but with tits. You call them titsies.
No. She wouldn't let us. There was no photos. No titsies. But our friend Bruce, 81-year-old Bruce, he had his face in him.
He was motivating.
He had bad eyesight. He's just trying to get a better life.
And the best part, his wife kind of encouraged it. I'm like, Bruce, you're my hero.
She likes to watch.
She likes to watch. So that was night one. So the bar was set awfully high.
Listen.
I thought I just saw the Macho Man, but a really crazy brown suit.
Dressed like the Macho Man.
Oh, that's the greatest. If anyone's watching the draft, there's a super Cleveland fan dressed and looks just like the Macho Man, Randy Savage. Oh, yeah.
It does say Macho on there.
No, I mean, yeah. That's my new friend.
He can be your friend. So that was night one.
Yes.
And that bar was set high. And I had such high expectations for night two.
Hey, can I ask you a question, Big Mike?
Yeah.
Did you get a hangover from that? Because when you pour sugar and alcohol, that can really...
I didn't. Big Ed, I did not drink a lot of the moonshine. I had a few sips myself. I kind of stuck to the Jack and Coke.
Gotcha.
So,
yeah,
I was drinking. I enjoy a little Jack Daniels this weekend.
Sometimes you got to dance with the lady you brought.
And Jack Daniels was the lady I brought.
There you go.
I just danced with her. Not quite that attractive, but hey, you know what? Yeah, there you go, Melissa. Jackie Daniels. So the next night, the follies begin. Well, the next day, let's say, we caught the generator on fire three times.
Ooh. That sounds unsafe.
There was eyebrows lost and arm hair singed in the process of this generator catching on fire.
You watching this guy?
I am watching this guy.
Like, literally, this is a Star is Born opposite. Like, Lady Gaga is going to find him and make him a
the
star.
Browns
and
Macho Man impersonator.
Himself. Yeah. How do you catch a generator on fire?
Well, that's easy, Casey.
you spill the gasoline on it.
Correct.
On it.
So again, let me paint the picture.
You had the alcohol shakes.
Well, okay. Now our friend Bruce, who you're friends with, not 81-year-old Bruce from New Hampshire, but our friend Bruce, who works with me,
yes,
is part of my NASCAR crew.
Yes.
And after the races on Saturday, we were planning to take a little excursion out to go pick up. We needed a funnel. We forgot a funnel to put gas into the generator. No, not to funnel the beer. He made a funnel out of a paper plate and some electrical tape. I'm like, Bruce, that's not OSHA approved. That's not going to work too good. Oh, no, it'll be fine. No, it's not going to be fine. So he proceeds to fill the gas tank of the generator.
Oh, no.
He did spill some. And the generator, painting the picture for you, it's in a box. My buddy Daryl works. He owns an air conditioning and sheet metal business. So he, on the bumper of this.
Oh, it's like in a metal box.
It's in a metal box. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So on the bumper of our travel trailer, I talk like it's mine. It's his. There's a platform, sheet metal box on the platform, generators in the sheet metal box with a sheet metal lid.
Right.
So they spilled the gasoline inside the box. Hence, you get some fumes. So when they started the generator, got, you know, a little backfire and little flames, and then it didn't start. And they went, my buddy Daryl went around there and went to help him get it started. And that's when he lost part of an eyebrow, singed his arm hair. And that was that.
So the smell.
And by then the generator wasn't probably not the right one to take. The two of the mounts broke on it. It was bad. Daryl and I, the only two with mechanical ability, while everybody else after the race on Saturday, they're drinking and carrying on. By the way, our friend Nancy from Roswell came by that afternoon to thank our new friend Nancy and our new friend Roy. Or our new friend Sandy. Sandy and our new friend Roy, who was traveling with Bruce and Sandy, rescued Nancy from another party that night. She showed us her tits because she should have really gone home, not to another party. So Nancy came by to thank Sandy for rescuing her from other race fans.
But then she showed you her boobs?
No, that was the night before.
Oh,
this is the night after. The afternoon after, which she didn't remember showing us her boobs. We told her she showed us her boobs. And
then she was
that's why she should allow the
dance. Not really. Her friends who she was with, they were quite entertained. They wanted more details about Nancy showing her boobs.
Hey, Big Ed, what was that bit that David Tell does, and he's like, he likes to watch the Girls Gone Wild, but backwards, where they decide they've made bad mistakes, but they want to do right, and they put their clothes back on.
They learn their lesson.
Yeah. Yeah, they learn their lesson.
They learn their lesson. Now, so that was our adventures at the campsite. Now, I sent a picture to you this week.
Yes. Yeah, very colorful. Very nice outfit.
So,
you know, I had no idea Talladega was like that. I've only been on Turn 4 side, which is all grass, and then you could see the highway.
Right. No, you're right. You're right, Big Ed. On Turn 4 side, on the other side of the racetrack, it is all fields. In Turn 1, off of Turn 1, I'm telling you, it was State Park beautiful. State Park beautiful. It was amazing.
I would have not known that until you brought it up, and that's interesting. That's good to know. Maybe
Winner's Walk. Okay, so the campground we were in was Winner's Walk 1. So Winner's Walk 1. If anybody's camping,
we could do a show from Talladega.
Let's do it. Because Dega is good in my books. So on our Talladega trip.
It'd be like a live gig from the old Ron and Ron days.
It could be.
All they need is Nancy and the Titsies, and I think we got a show.
It would be awesome. Hey, Nancy from Roswell. It's Big Mike from the campground. If you're listening, hey, hit us up. We could do a show. So my friend Daryl. What's that?
She's the main event.
She would be the main event. She had nice boobs. I'm gonna tell you, nice boobs.
Sure.
Small nipples. That's good. So my buddy Daryl, who we're traveling with, is a Bucky super fan, which anybody...
Yeah, there is a cult following to that store. It's like a weird general store gas station.
Right. And it's like Walmart meets a Western wear store meets a sporting goods store meets a deli meets a
What's
bakery.
It called?
Bucky's. B-U-C-E-E.
And then it's got
apostrophe
like,
S. A beaver.
Yeah.
Beaver.
You know what? They up in PA, up in the Northeast, they have a place called Funk's. There's like three of them, and they have like merchandise, and it's the same
concept, right?
Yeah, they have a little diner attached to it.
This one, they have like barbecue. They have like award-winning barbecue.
Huh.
I think that's what they started at.
And then I got a turkey melt. On our day, we were traveling. We went to three Buc-ee's on this trip. I would have been okay with one Buc-ee's.
I was going
to
say,
that's okay.
Like too many.
What's that?
That sounded like too many.
Yes, I agree. But again, Daryl was driving. It's his pickup, his trailer. Hey, I'm along for the ride.
Sure, sure.
Our friend Bruce, his son Brian,
yes,
bought a Buc-ee's onesie. And what this is the beaver costume, a beaver onesie. After purchasing said onesie, he put it on and he wore it in the pickup until we stopped at another Buc-ee's and he walked around the one in Warner Robins, Georgia.
Yeah, there's a big one there.
We went from the first one of the day, Monday, was in Leeds, Alabama. And then we ended up in Warner Robins getting gas. That was our second to last gas stop. And Brian proceeded to walk around the parking lot in a Bucky Beaver onesie. He could have been shot. We are in Georgia. It is, you know, hunting season.
And dueling banjos.
I like dueling banjos. I love them.
Squeal like a pig boy.
No.
Why didn't you say no? That would have changed that whole movie.
No, I know. And if
no,
you stood
thank
up,
you, sir.
No, thank you, sir. I'm not interested in that. Oh, okay. And they would have walked away.
Yeah.
I appreciate your good manners. Yeah. We appreciate that down south.
Sir, I appreciate your enthusiasm for my bunghole. However, I have to politely decline your entry.
And then the crazy hillbilly could have said, well, sir, I appreciate that, and I'm sorry that you're declining my penis in your bunghole, because it's sad on my part, but have a wonderful rest of the day. Enjoy your day here.
Maybe if they had all right, hold on. We got something. Nope, and it went away.
It's like
the stock market.
It was up, then it's down.
I think we had someone that was trying to call in.
So anyhow, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, Big Ed, hey, sweet Melissa, lady, Casey, would you put a onesie of any type on? Well, let's just get the brass tacks. Would you put on the beaver onesie and walk around the Buc-ee's parking lot like you're the fucking mascot?
How much alcohol?
There is none.
I
he was sober that day when we were dead. This was the day. This was our ride home. Completely sober. Big Ed?
That's a hard no. No.
That's a big hard no on Big Mike's part. Casey?
I'm going to have to say no, dog.
There you go.
I would, but there would have to be a purpose. Like, was it for pictures?
I do have a picture. I don't know. I think the purpose was he's just
on Bruce's son.
He's Bruce's son. So there you go. There's a little flavor from Talladega.
See, you know, Big Mike, what I like is that you really bring big game. You brought a story. You left me in a lurch, but not really, because you brought so much back to the show.
Well, that's what
you
told
so
me.
Important.
That's what you said. I was allowed to have the Friday off. But I better come back with stories.
Yeah, I believe I said it was come back with stories or you're out of the family.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to share family business with everybody, but since you're putting that all out there, you know, hey, that's what he did say, everybody. That's kind of mean, right? I think it's mean. But I came back with stories, didn't I?
You did.
Yeah, you had good ones. I even thought of a couple while you were.
Yeah, well, what stories?
We'll have to leave that for Big Ed story time for next time.
Oh, yeah, because I got to cue music because, you know, I need happy music, and then when it turns dark,
we need
sad music.
Sad music, but at the right moment.
Yeah.
Don't do it like the Legend of Duckweed, damn it.
Well, it goes a little slow, but I'll figure it out.
And
well,
that, hey,
there's build up before the big death scene, so that's why I told you. That's why I was like, not now.
Well, Casey, if our listeners are really, and I want to give a shout out and a big shalom to our listeners in Israel. Yeah. Rock on, brothers and sisters in Israel.
Yeah.
Glad to have you on board. Big supporter of yours right here in Big Mike. Our friends in the UK listening to us.
Yeah.
I got some English blood in me. Right on, brothers and sisters.
Canada.
We're here in North America. We're neighbors.
We're keep your stick on the ice, you hoser.
Hey, you hoser.
Hey, the Stanley Cup lives here in Florida.
That's right.
For now.
So I didn't get to welcome our international listeners last week. Welcome from the good old Big Mike.
Yeah, thank you very much. So hopefully everyone's enjoying.
So speaking of Big Ed story time, is it time for the rock and roll retrospect?
I got something up my sleeve. Sure.
Well, the
Can I plug something before we go into that?
Yes.
The Brian Setzer Orchestra. You when I was listening to the show, when I did gang listen to the show in my absence, I'll give you my take on that album.
I'd love to hear it.
So I enjoyed the songs. Let me pull it up here. Oh, and I'll hit something else before we get off. I got all kinds of ideas tonight. The songs I enjoyed were more the rockabilly rockers.
Yes.
The ones that were more the jump blues or the jazzy type, did nothing for me. But the let me pull it up here. See, it's right here.
Yeah, he's got it on the interwebs.
On the interwebs on my my pocket computer. My pocket computer says.
That's the one you want. Yep.
Which one?
Oh, no.
Right there.
Yeah, Guitar Slinger.
Guitar Slinger. So the houses were rocking.
Yes.
Good. Rumble in Brighton, that was my favorite on the album.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was pretty awesome. That was really rockabilly-ish. The Legend of Johnny Cool, like that. Ghost Radio. And then the rest of the album you can keep.
Well, there were some that were also Stray Cat songs, too.
Which, the only one, as I know, is the one where they sing about themselves. That's the only Stray Cat song I know.
No.
So, there's my take on the album. Not a bad album. Yeah. Could I listen to it through and through time and time again? No. But, anyway, there you go. That's the retrospect on last week's rock and roll retrospect. So...
Well, thank you for that.
No, no, it's not as good as yours, Big Ed, but whatever. I'm not Big Ed. I'm Big Mike. Do we have a caller?
We have a caller live.
Hey, guys. It's Jimmy Mike.
Jimmy.
Sorry to make me. I was just getting caught in traffic. You know, this DC shit is bullshit. I just wanted to make sure you guys are doing all right. Big Mike. Missed you last week.
I missed you, buddy. I missed being here.
Well, I'm glad we had some good stories that you brought to the table. Thank you.
That's right. I get to stay in the family.
Well, keep the bunghole thing out of it. That's probably a good thing for the next show. But
Jimmy Mike's been to Talladega.
Oh, Talladega was fun. For Halloween, we dressed up. I was with Big Ed there.
Remember the pink pony? We get there and... It wasn't until the last song that you figured out what their costumes were because they were naked.
Yeah. Pink Pony, what a great place in Atlanta.
Jimmy's been to Bristol, too.
I have. Not the mud track, not the dirt track. That would be fun.
No, I want to go to Bristol, Bristol.
But it was a night race.
Yeah, absolutely. So no, that's on my short. That's on my bucket list of tracks. Bristol, Martinsville, Pocono, ooh, Dover.
Now, the Bristol, yeah, it was nice is you had to have your sandwiches, all your cocktails ready in the cooler, and you couldn't talk. You had to have sign language because it was so yes, loud. And I didn't know sign language until I knew what drinking and sandwiches were.
Yeah.
It worked out really well. But Big Ed was one of the guys that that showed me the ropes of NASCAR.
The Bristol ropes. So Jimmy, what's new and exciting since I haven't talked to you since two shows ago? How's it going up in the old DC?
Oh, there's a place that I like to frequent, and I hate to plug it in, but Tuskegee's is amazing. I had the Barnyard last week.
Best place on the planet.
Yeah, it's one of those places that's very special to my heart. But I'll tell you what's going on up here is there's a lot of stuff going on. You guys brought up that LeBron thing or some guy named LeBron.
We did.
Have you guys talked about him yet?
We haven't, but we can talk about him now.
No, we were going to talk about Carole King, but we'll talk about LeBron.
Well, they're in the same genre. You know, they're both kings. Yeah. They're both lion kings. So
right.
I get it. No, I thought I saw some TikToks that were pretty good and was really impressed by the humiliation of the stupidity of certain individuals, because I don't talk about how basketball is played. I'm not a basketball guy. I enjoy
it. Jimmy, was LeBron doing these TikToks?
No. These were blue light special guys, not from Kmart.
No.
I got you.
Yeah, so they were doing things. They were saying, hey, what do you think I should do about this? Is a guy speeding and yada yada? LeBron, I know you're a great basketball player, but can you teach me how to what should I do since you're an expert in policing? And I go, this is great.
One cop got suspended for it.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. I couldn't believe it.
Away from that social media, it's dangerous.
Social media is bad, unless it is
a comedy show.
Or what's Casey? This is your chance to plug our Twitter page.
At Beer Seats.
There you go. I was so proud of you last week. You got it right.
Yeah.
Beer Seats.
Yeah, he was really good. I got to say, Casey, you were right on it. You were on it without the sidekick. You had the numbers and you dialed it right in.
Well, you know, I just, when the pressure's on, then
you got it.
You're shining.
I kind of perform, then I crumble at the last second. So, you know.
I was surprised that we didn't have you on Big Mike. I'm surprised you didn't call in to do like a live part of the live interview.
Don't
like
think I didn't work. Think about doing that.
Well, you know what? Funny you said that. We had a test show that
last
could be
night.
Something that can actually happen now. We didn't know if we had the technology, but we're like the $6 million man. Now we have the technology.
We're like Steve Austin.
Yes.
True story. I mean, I went. This is about the man, the myth, the legend, Lee Majors. I went skiing.
Oh, I love Lee Majors.
All right, you have my attention.
Okay, so the man, Lee Majors. I was going skiing at the Sundance Film Festival, probably in 2002. I think it was the Olympics for Salt Lake. They were just getting ready for it in February, but I was there for the film festival in January, and I go to get my. I go, Tim, I told my little brother, Timmy, I go, hey, I got to go to the restroom. He goes, all right, cool. Get the snowboard, get the skis, get the gear. We'll be ready to go get the bus and get down to Park City. All right. He goes, hey, do you know who just came out of the bathroom? I go, I don't fucking know. He goes, Lee Majors. Lee Majors was in the bathroom. I said, did you take a leak next to him? I go, dude, I wasn't meat gazing. I don't meat gaze. I go, it's just a fucking unwritten rule. It's this rule that you just don't do. He goes, final. You didn't see him? I go, Lee Majors. I said, I know who he is. $6 million man, the Fall Guy. I go, I know who he is.
Yeah, Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
And Lou could and so there's a guy that there's a show. He was on the Big Valley. His name was Heath, And that was Lee Majors when he first started. It was pretty awesome. So I go, Tim,
Lee
you're full of shit. You're
like
full of shit.
With blonde hair back in the 60s.
Yes. So I get in my stuff. My brother, bullshitting with my friends. We're going skiing. We're getting drunk, getting high. And he goes, Jimmy's pissed next to Lee Majors all weekend. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Shut up. So we're drinking. We're drinking. And there's this place called Wabash. It's a brewery out there. We're having all these cocktails and drinks and beers. And we're walking. We're fucked up. And there's this sign written in, looks like blood, but it's a Xerox copy they put on all these little things where it's like selling skis and what to do and massage parlors and shit like that. And it says, Lee Majors is here. Lee Majors is here. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. My brother's like, I told you, motherfuckers, he's here. He's here. So I turn around and go, Timmy, he is not here. Lo and behold, the man, the myth, the legend turns around. He goes, I'm Lee Majors. I'm right here. He goes,
that's awesome.
I go, are you kidding me? He goes, yes. I go, hey. Then this black kid comes up and he goes, since you're the $6 million man, do you think I could borrow $5? And I was like, what the fuck? I go to grab this guy's hand. He was fucking rocked. He was having such a good time. He couldn't grab my hand. He grabbed my forearm. I grabbed his forearm because he couldn't find my hand. And we went out and we had one beer with him and it was history. But that's my only story to Lee Majors.
That's amazing.
Yes.
That would like make my life to meet Lee Majors.
We just made history tonight.
Did we? I haven't washed my forearm since.
A real story about Lee Majors?
That's true. You know what? That's true.
We broke the story.
Yeah.
Hey, Jimmy, that's kind of gross if you haven't washed your forearm. That might be a little crusty by now.
Yeah, you know, I probably shouldn't have said that on air.
Yeah, it's all right. We're not going to judge you, buddy. No judgment.
Then you realize in retrospect, you didn't grab him by the forearm, but it was his cock.
It was
that
Johnson.
Big.
Because, you know, I heard Lee Majors wears Big Johnson t-shirts.
Yeah, of course.
And it's not just because.
And he was married to Farrah Fawcett. He was married to Farrah Fawcett. So, you know, she had to have the goods. So.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
He didn't date ugly girls.
Because he's Lee Majors, man. Actor, country singer. I mean, he's got it all. Two awesome TV shows ever. $6 million man and ball guy.
But I don't know. I mean, fame is one thing, but I'll tell you what. He was a really good guy. He was a nice guy. He was a down-to-earth guy. He was just as drunk as I was.
That's awesome. That's a good story.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great story.
Man. But for the record, I was not meat gazing. I did not meat gaze.
Glad to hear that, pal.
Yeah.
Glad you're not a meat gazer. Then I would judge you.
Would have been weird if, like, Lee Majors were like,
what if he was meat gazing you?
No, but he would be like, why don't you want to look at my cock?
Yeah.
I'm Lee Majors. You don't want to see my cock?
No,
he's
you
like,
guys
I've
find
been
this
jumping off, you know, doing this TV show, busting my balls.
Well, I would look at his balls to see if he had big balls, but not his cock. Yeah. I wouldn't care about his cock.
Do you know whose lips been around this goddamn thing?
Half of Hollywood, probably. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's freaking Lee Majors.
That some bitch could speak.
Now, you guys ever go to the restroom besides a concert or a ball game?
One big ass.
You guys ever go to a ball game and there's like a line full to go take a piss because you're just at the ball game or a concert and it's just like, it's just courtesy. You go one after another. But you go to like the airport or you go to like the mall and there's nobody there. And you go in the corner, take a leak, and there's like 10 other urinals. And some dude comes up and goes right next to you. Isn't there a courtesy on that?
No,
you don't go.
You got to
space it out.
Yeah,
space it out, man.
Leave
room for the Holy Ghost. Stall. At least you go at least one stall away.
I mean, it's not like a concert where you wait in line, you're just doing your business and go.
Correct.
But no,
any large event.
You get guys that come in there and do that shit.
A big trough, you know?
Yes, the trough. Oh my God, I missed that.
At Daytona. Daytona used to have the troughs.
The trough is terrifying for children, by the way.
Yes, I remember as a kid at Daytona, that was not a happy place.
You can't reach.
And there'd be so many people in some sporting events at the trough that you'd hear someone eventually yell in the background, fuck it, pee in the sink. And then that's it. You're like, well, now I can't even wash my hands.
Yeah. Because now the sink is, you know, yeah, it's, at least it's not, nobody's taking a shit in it.
Yeah, well.
Which that happened at my place of business. Somebody shit in the sink one day. That's a story for another time. Story for another time, gang. It was a little kid. But still, it's a turd. Little kid or not, it's a turd. Story for another time.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, I just wanted to leave my two cents in there. I'm glad to hear you guys all doing well this week. It's starting to get warm up this way.
Reaching out, man.
Jimmy, thanks for calling and giving us that awesome Lee Major story.
Yeah, you're always welcome.
For sure.
Hey, Jimmy, Mike, I'm still looking for the coffee, the Green Mountain Coffee K-Cups. Where are they?
They're on their way.
No, they were on the counter.
Oh, in the trash.
They're for my mom. She's here tomorrow.
No, it's on the right-hand side. It's over by your where you hang your jackets at.
Hey, can you guys text us?
Yeah. This is not exactly compelling radio podcast stuff.
I'm not sure if you guys understand I'm entertainment. You know,
she's the only person entertained here is Melissa.
Look, you gotta strike.
Hey, she's a meat gazer. I bet you she's a meat gazer.
Don't call everybody.
There you go.
Well, female have meat. Let that sink in for a minute.
Absolutely. Well, this show, it took us a while, but we're running off the rails now.
I'm equal opportunity. Idiot.
It took us an hour and a minute in to run off the rails, and we're running off those rails.
Hey, so this Wendy's commercial, they keep doing this bag.
I hate that commercial.
No, I like it because I use it like when someone's a douchebag, I'm like, bag alert, major bag alert, every time. I think it's the greatest thing. It gave me like a new angle.
Yeah, you put it that way.
And it lets other people know that there's a douchebag in the region. And you just go, bag alert, major bag alert.
That's better than Wendy's use of it.
I miss the old lady that said, where's the beef? I miss her.
Dude, that lady's long gone.
She's worm food, dude.
Vulture meat.
Where's the beef?
Where's the beef?
Oh, Jesus.
I do like Wendy's hamburgers, though.
Fast foods are probably the most consistent.
Don't eat it in the dark in the car. You realize that it has no taste.
What? Have no taste.
No, that's a symptom of COVID.
Hey, guys, I'm going to run. I'm going to keep listening. Thanks again for the laughs and the good times. You guys
You're welcome,
take care.
Jimmy,
I'll listen hard. I love listening to you guys. You guys kick my ass and laugh. I laugh so hard when I hear you guys.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks, pal.
Your friend from the D.C. area. Good to hear you guys.
Yes, all right. See you, Jimmy. Peace out.
So with that, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. It's always good to get a friend to drop in and, you know, you catch up with old Jimmy. He's always got interesting insight stories and you know.
So now we're running a little behind. Let's just go right into the rock and roll retrospect. Let's get the Big Ed. There you go. Big Ed, take it away.
All right. So this week I picked Slash's Snake Pit.
I like the album cover.
Yeah, his brother made it.
Yes, I did. Wikipedia, yep.
Ash Gordon, because Slash's first name is Paul, but spelt with an S.
Saul, yeah.
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 Like the Apostle Paul was Saul before becoming the Apostle Paul. That's for my other show.
Right.
So Christianity This Week.
It's actually deemed a super group. You know, Slash doesn't it's almost like a Guns N' Roses reunion. You got Slash on guitar, you got Matt Sorum on drums, Gilby Clark on guitar. Then you got Mike Inez from Alice in Chains, your favorite band, and Jellyfish guitarist Eric Dover. Eric Dover has very vocal similar to Axl. This stuff was rejected by Axl Rose, and they made it their own. This is their debut album called It's 5 o'clock Somewhere. It was released in 1995. They did tour with this, but they had to get James Lomenzo and Brian Cici of Pride and Glory because Sorum and Clark had other – actually, they had to go back to Guns N' Roses. And then in the middle of the tour, Geffen pulled the plug on the finances, so Slash went back to Guns N' Roses, and Slash's Snake Pit disbanded. So on Slash, you got Slash on guitar, Eric Dover on lead, Gilby Clark on rhythm guitars, Mikey Nez on bass guitar, backing vocals, and Matt Sorum on drums. And I knew the first time I heard it, I knew it was Matt Sorum. He has such a like a snap position, very clean sound.
He does have a signature style on drums.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan. I think he's better on this than, you know, that's just my opinion. So Geffen is the label. Produced by Mike Klink and Slash. Mike Klink actually did a lot of work with like Sum 41, Blink 182, Green Day, a lot of those bands that were big in the mid 90s.
I've heard of his name. He's a he was a big rock producer through the 90s.
Who, Klink?
Yes.
Yeah. He's got quite the resume. And then also you had Dizzy Reed. I don't know if you remember. He was with the Use Your Illusion touring group.
He came in as the keyboardist and he actually toured. Yes. Yeah, and then he's got a pretty long resume. He's no lightweight either.
Yeah, so there's 14 tracks. It's I think this could have been tucked into maybe a 10 or 11 track. It's still good. I enjoyed it. It's 69 minutes. It's a lot of music for an hour. You know, I listen to this in the car on the way to – that's usually how I do this. I get it pounded in my head, and then when I think of something, I jot down a little note, you know. I try to put some color into it. So the album was a moderate success. Actually, I think selling a million copies to me, that's more than a moderate. Went platinum in the United States, and it was certified gold in Japan. I didn't know Japan certified gold is 100,000, not 500,000. So I guess every country or whoever, you know, does this certification. I guess I could do my homework and not talk about that one day. But
well, here's the thing. Who would have thought the Japanese are rockers like that? You know what I mean?
I mean, Iron Maiden does well there. Judas Priest,
You know what? I lived in Japan, and they actually really appreciate metal. And
I think they're metal. You know, Asia and South America are huge. Actually, metal's big all over the world.
Oh, yeah, South America, they go nuts for metal.
Yeah.
I would have never thought.
Iron Maiden could just tour Chile and Brazil and make a living just going back and forth on a regional jet instead of
– And they're being filthy rich just doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty filthy rich what they're doing now.
Yeah, well, I guess if you're at your own 747.
Yeah, you're doing okay.
Yeah.
Doing better than me. Go ahead, Big Ed.
No worries. So what's unique about this is those slashes normal. And Rolling Stone got this wrong because they kind of panned it for being a Guns N' Roses sounded album. Well, you know what? When the writers are, you know, Slash, Matt Sorum, and Gilby Clark, Izzy Stradlin, yeah, you're going to get a sound. That's very similar to Guns N' Roses. But they panned Slash for his fancy guitar playing and not writing, you know, not writing music. And here, I mean, Slash even says on his own website that it was the first time he ever wrote lyrics. He wrote all the lyrics to all the songs except for one. And that one
Which
song
one was that?
Is, the one song is Monkey Chow. And actually Monkey Chow is code for you know, for blow or something like that.
Oh.
Yeah. Monkey Chow is totally about drugs. Look, this album's got songs about suicide. The first song, Neither Can I. Then there's one, Ain't Good to Be Alive, I'm Doing Fine, is about the heyday of... This is actually the tail end of Slash's partying, you know? And you could hear it in the music that there's still... Oh, the song's called Doing Fine. It's all about, you know, they're talking about a guy jumping off the roof into the pool and missing the pool. And they're like, he's not walking much anymore, you know, like just simple lyrics about the perils of partying. I brought this as soon as they came out because I'm a big fan of Slash's. So let's see. I get on a tangent. Slash didn't want his name used
Yeah, there's the first couple chords.
But that was by accident, by the way. That wasn't by design.
He wanted it to just be called a Snake Pit, but the record company wouldn't allow it, so it was Slash and Snake Pit.
They wanted the name recognition. Sure, I get that.
Yeah, and the way this album got its title, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, was Slash overheard it at the bar at the airport. It's an excuse for having the first drink of the day.
I don't need one.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
Go ahead, Big Ed.
Let's see. So it's Slash's signature. Slash got the old burrow in the mouth. He's got the Gibson hanging, and he's got his top hat, and he just does what he does. He plays guitar. Yep. He's got fancy riffs and overdubs and lays and, you know, this is what's nice about this. It's not like just listening to Satriani and be like, you know, something that a guitarist would appreciate. This, a guitarist is going to appreciate this album, and I think any rock and roll fan, because there's some great bass riffs, there's some good drumming, and the vocals have their moments where the vocals are great. But all these songs are written for Axl Rose, and if you listen to anything Slash has ever wrote, it's all like Miles, you know, Miles Kennedy is. Miles Kennedy sings with Slash now, you know?
Yes.
He nails all actual stuff, so this is the kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, he's a pretty amazing vocalist, for sure, for like a rock vocalist.
So the record company didn't know what to expect with this, because Gilby Clark did a great solo album. Duff McKagan's dropped really bad. And Slash's, it fared out not quite as good as Gilby Clark, but the... You know, it turned a profit, so it made Geffen happy. It's all, you know, if you look at all the people that were credited, like as engineers, you could tell this was like backed by a record company. There's like 4 or 5 different engineers. You know, there's Raging Guitar Work is the main attraction, skyrocketing riffs. It's top-notch timing of the drummer of Matt Sorum and Gilby Clark, you know.
Well,
Mike Inez on bass, it's a good lineup, and they were pretty tight.
You know, I always get the feeling of, if you don't mind me just interjecting real quick about Slash.
Go ahead.
You know, like you'll talk about, like, in comedy, they'll talk like, say, someone's a comic. And I always get the feeling, like, hearing other musicians talking about Slash, he's a musician's musician.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like a Joe Satriani, you know, musicians admire the work, and that's the kind of work he does. But he's able to put words to it,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, I think it just takes him to another level. Now, is this it's a very GNR. If you listen to Use Your Illusion and put this on, you're like, wow, this could have been on this album, or, you know, with a different type of mixing, you know, you could come up with that sound as well. But these are all these songs were rejected by Axl Rose.
Really?
So, yeah, every one of these. So Slash decided to, and this is like when they're on their way out, you know, this is when the trouble begins. Not because of this, there was our trouble within. They were all doing drugs and doing their own, you know, trying to live their own life and keep the machine going, you know? You know, you remember seeing Guns N' Roses on the first leg of Use Your Illusion, and they were fresh, and they were great that night.
Yes.
Then I saw them again with Faith No More and Metallica, and they were not that great. They were beat up. You could tell they were just going through the motions. Keeping the money machine going for the record company, you know. I mean, that was a long tour. That was almost like 2 years on the road.
Yeah, that's a long
time. Could you imagine that? That's rough.
But you know what? At that time, you know, you strike while the iron's hot, and then it enables you to do stuff like this. You know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, just a big old party album, you know, cases of champagne, and they're drinking and recording live, you know, that's what those guys like to do. And it came up to, you know, this album is probably right out of three, maybe a little below. If you could make this 8 or 10 songs, you'd probably kick it up a notch to maybe a 3, 3-2. I've been listening to this for 25 years, you know, 26 years since it came out. So it's etched in my vernacular. I love this album too. I think that'll put a stamp on it. It's done.
There you have it. That was Big Ed's Rock and Roll Retrospect.
You know, Big Ed, that's your 10th review, by the way.
Wow. All right. Hey, we should have a little. There should be like something off the soundboard for 10 reviews. Come on, Kate.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's an easy one to get to.
Yeah, you know, hey.
That one works on command.
We're working on getting better. More. So
that's a good one. Yeah, slash snake bit.
I enjoyed the album. My favorite off the album, I like the guitar work on Beggars and Hangers-On.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, you look at it here on the old Apple Music, the stars next to it indicating, oh, that's the one everybody downloads.
So that was the song, I think
most
that
popular
was
on the album.
There were two singles on it. I didn't mention the singles. Where's my paperwork?
I think that was one of them, though.
That's definitely one of them. A good song. To me, that was my favorite off the album. And then Jizz the Pit. That was pretty good, too.
I think that's an instrumental.
And I kind of dig the instrumentals. So that's like a lost art. You don't get those on albums anymore. That used to be a thing in the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
Even in the 70s, you would have like an instrumental track on your album. No more. And I think instrumentals are kind of cool.
Well, now it's one extreme. You're either a guy that's just
all
like
Satriani
where
yeah.
it's all instrumental. Or
you're singing on every bloody song on the album. Speaking of singing, what are Waffle House friends hearing? They had some boy bands last week.
Well, we wanted to change it up. We wanted to go 70s disco on them.
Oh, what did you get?
Well, a little action from Lips, Inc., Funky Town.
Woo! Yep. Can we get demonetized for that?
I'm going to Funky Town, you know?
So, you know, Car Wash would be a good choice for it.
That would be fun.
So, Funky Town is what
I think we're going to go back to disco for a bit and just... You know, really, really hit the disco.
Because that's either a love or hate.
Yeah.
And hopefully the Waffle House people hate it.
Yeah.
I feel
like restaurants.
Yeah. You're doing that short order.
Coffee.
Kathy.
After, you know, listening to somebody scream over and over what kind of damn hash browns you want all day. And
do you want smothered or covered or both, you son of a bitch?
Or diced. That has ham in it.
Diced.
You don't want to hear Funky Town. Probably want to choke somebody out at by that time of the day.
Listen, I've had made a lot of bad choices in life. I hate this song.
That's why I work at Waffle House. No offense, Waffle House listeners.
We love
you. Because I love some Waffle House.
Actually, I do like one.
You know who else? Speaking of this, and we're going to go off.
Huddle House? Fuck that place.
I've never eaten at Huddle House. I'll be in Tennessee next week. And speaking of, I'm going to be live.
Remote.
From Arlington, Tennessee next week, next Friday. Because we have the technology now, gang.
Yep.
We have the technology.
We are like the $6 million man.
Meat gazing.
Yep.
Just kidding. Not meat gazing.
Yeah, we do not, as we learned from our friend Jimmy,
Jimmy Mike,
meat gaze the $6 million man.
Even if you really want to, don't do it. So I'll be off on our tangent here. I'll be remote next week from Arlington.
Yes.
So where was I going with this? I don't know.
No, but, you know, we'll still make the show go on. We'll still be live on a Friday night. So it'll still be fun.
It'll be exciting.
I don't know. Who knows? Some people may pop in. Who knows?
You know, this is where I was going with this. IHOP.
Yeah.
I really like IHOP. I do love the blueberry syrup. How do you feel about flavored syrups?
Not a fan.
Really?
Yeah, I'm against it.
You're a maple guy.
Yeah.
Big Ed, what say you?
Maple syrup.
Really? No blueberry
whatever syrup. Whatever Aunt Jemima's selling, I'm buying.
She's not on the label anymore, by the way.
Is she really not?
No more. I saw one today.
No, no. It's named after the original mill that it was made in or whatever.
Syrup mill.
Something like that.
Owens Mill, Maryland. Anyway. Yeah, I'm a fan of the blueberry syrup. That's my favorite syrup of all time.
It's too sweet for me.
Oh, it's so good on pancakes.
Which is weird because syrup is just like, here's sugar.
Here's sugar. This is just like melted, delicious sugar.
But the blueberry just, it just don't, and now I like blueberries. I just don't like the blueberry syrup.
You know what I could do is like an apple cinnamon and salt.
What?
Yeah.
So, if our fans wanted to email us about syrup or anything else they heard today, how would they reach us, Casey?
Well, we do have a website that's a little bit more interactive, made some updates to it. That's warmbeerandthecheapseats.com. You can reach us on our Twitter at BeerSeats.
Two times on the show he got this right.
Yes. And then, of course, you can always email us at theshow@warmbeerandthecheapseats.com. If you're listening live, that's great. We love you guys, and feel free to interact. There's the message board, so.
I'm going
to
say this. Our friends from around the world, please drop a line to us. One of our Israeli friends, our Canadian friends, our friends from the UK.
Yeah, we want your input. And,
hey, our friends here.
Share and like.
Hey, and our friends here in the US of A. Drop us a line, man. Send us something.
And perhaps you have a request for Big Ed on a rock and roll retrospect. We could put in a word. We know the guy.
We know Big Ed. I think I'm going to put a word in on a rock and roll retrospect. I got some ideas. But anyway, hey, fans, if you got ideas, send them to us. And I think with that, how are you feeling about this show?
I think we're getting to that point.
Oh, there's the music.
There's the music.
I think this is where they tell us get the hell out.
Get the hell out. Any final words there, Big Ed?
Not that I can think of. Buster broke the window. Are we freeing Brittany, or what is she fucking doing?
No, I'm going to leave Brittany alone. I think that's what we need to do. But I'm all about Tebow time.
And I'm about Lee Majors. Oh, crickets.
Excellent. Excellent drop there. Big Ed, that's a solid song.
Yeah. Every once in a while we do that. So anyway, hey, are we exiting it or what?
All right, thank you, everyone. We love you. Listen, follow, and we'll see you next time.
Peace. Why did I get crickets for Lee Majors? I love Lee Majors. You know, I have his album.
I think.